And now it's time for Power of Prophecy with your host, former professor at the University of Texas at Austin, career United States Air Force officer, and best-selling author, Tex Mars.
Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars. Welcome to another edition of Power of Prophecy. We're being heard around the world, of course. We're coming from Austin, Texas, where we've been, I suppose, the last 30 years. I don't know how much longer we're going to be here. Maybe Jesus will come sooner than 30 more years. I sure hope he does, because things are getting bleak, aren't they? I mean, look at the world around us. Well, today we've got a special guest, and this gentleman, he's got a good sense of humor. He's got a great personality, but even he sees some bad things coming up. Immediately ahead. He's written a number of books, and we've offered him here. One of them telling you the truth about 9/11, and I'll ask him about that in just a moment. But his newest book is called Crowning Clinton. Now, I didn't say clowning, but I could, but it's crowning, you know, like put a crown on her head, make her queen, Hillary. In fact, he's got a picture on the front cover. I love that picture. It shows her sort of in a Queen Elizabeth type of costume. She's, you know, got the tiara or the crown on her head. The subtitle of this book is Why Hillary Should Not Be in the White House. Now, I cannot imagine anyone writing a book like this because I'm such a Hillary fan, as you folks know. But my good friend Victor Thorne is here to tell you why he wrote this book. Victor, welcome to Power of Prophecy.
Well, thanks for having me on, Tex. It's always a pleasure to be here with you, and appreciate you guys carrying this book.
Well, we are carrying it because it's an important book. You know, everybody in my audience knows that Hillary should not be in the White House. But in this book, it's not a big book, but I don't know what you would, to use a big word, maybe pithy, you know, which means very brief and to the point. You've really nailed it. I mean, read this book. If you're uncertain at all, or if you know for sure that Hillary shouldn't be in the White House, but you just like some facts. Maybe you have a friend next door who is a Democrat, or maybe somebody at church says, oh, I think Hillary's really good, or especially a woman who says, well, we need a woman in the White House. If you have anybody like that, well, get this book. You probably need about a dozen copies. Now, I'm not just trying to sell it, but you do. It's not that expensive, and you need it really to evangelize others and let them know what you're going to find out about Hillary Clinton. There might be a lot of things in here that you don't know, too. Well, Victor, I don't think I need to ask you, but I want to, anyway, for our audience's sake, why did you write this book?
Well, the main reason is what you just said, is, and it comes in the subtitle of this book, is Hillary cannot be allowed back in the White House. But a lot of people may say, Tex, that they'll say, well, I already know about Hillary. I watch Fox News, or I watch CNN, or I watch CBS. Well, the big difference is like, yeah, they scratch the surface of Hillary. They dance on eggshells around her. But if you want to get the real truth about this woman, what Fox News and CNN and MSNBC won't tell you, this is where you're going to find it. And this is what's most important, because when they only tell you a partial truth on TV or in the newspapers, what's most important is what they're not telling you. And that's why I made it this mission to follow up on the other books that I wrote about Hillary, is to complete the picture. And this is all updated material. It's the most recent material. And as a matter of fact, somebody just ordered a copy of this book. Well, actually, they ordered two copies, one for themselves, and then they said, please send one of them to Donald Trump's headquarters, addressed to his campaign manager. So the next day, I put that book in the mail and sent it to Donald Trump so he can have this information also. So we have to, all of us, Tex, is Hillary and Bill. We have to include Bill in this picture. Hillary and Bill are such deceptive, such corrupt people that we remember everything that happened in the 90s. Do we want to repeat this in 2016 for the next four or maybe eight years? And I just say that we can't allow it for this country, for everybody here, because after the last 8 years of Obama, Hillary has basically said during every one of these debates, she's going to be a continuation of Barack Obama. Well, Obama has fundamentally transformed America, especially socially. And, you know, Hillary is equal to him, if not worse. So I think we have, all of us together have to do everything we can to prevent this train wreck from happening.
Now, Victor, I know you personally, and you're a good friend of mine. And I want people to know that you are not a Republican. In other words, you're just an American. You're an American citizen. You want to do what's right for America. And, you know, we know that both parties are very corrupt. So I'm quite sure, I don't want to put words in your mouth, but I'm quite sure that you didn't write this book. The Republican National Committee did not give you a contract to write this book, correct?
No, they certainly did not. And it's funny because there's a big publisher in Washington, D.C. called Regnery Publishing. And when I wrote my first trilogy on the Clintons, I told them about this. Mm-hmm. And they were really, really excited. I mean, really excited. They said, like, we're going to take this idea right up to the president, and we're having a board meeting right now. Then they said, could you send us the table of contents? And when they saw the table of contents, they said, well, you know, on second thought, we already do have a book on Hillary coming out, so we're not interested any longer. And what happened was that they saw that I told the truth in these books. So you're right, Tex. The Republican National Committee is equally as corrupt as the DNC. And what they do is they work hand in hand with one another. You know, the Bushes and the Clintons have been on the same team for decades and decades, going all the way back to when Bill and Hillary were the co-governors of Arkansas. So, you know, Reince Priebus, the head of the RNC, and Jeb Bush, and none of these guys are calling me up and asking me for copies of this book. So it's only radio shows and publishers like yourself that are providing this information, and that's, you know, another reason why everybody out there should get their hands on it, because most everybody out there in the quote-unquote machine doesn't want people like us to read these books. So, you know, they just want everybody tune into Fox News and CNN, and, you know, they'll tell the little lies there, and that's really all they want people to know.
Well, right now it appears that Hillary made a mistake. She made a mistake about her emails. You know, she took her personal server, and she allowed her emails to be read by every intelligence service in the world. So she just made a mistake. That's what people are thinking, and that's all you hear on TV. Hillary made this email mistake, but your book goes way back. Now, let me ask you up front. This is very important. You know, I've done a lot of studies on psychopaths. You know, there's candidates and there's candidates. There's people whose viewpoints we disagree with. Okay. You know, we may oppose them. We can fight them and all that. But if a person is truly a psychopath, they're very dangerous. Do you believe, from all of your research, and it goes back years, Victor, that Hillary Clinton is a psychopath?
She is unqualified a psychopath. In our political arena, there's liars, and most every politician lies. We all know that. We accept that politicians are going to lie to us. But then there's an entirely different level above these mere politicians, and I don't think I could put it better than you did, Tex, in that she is a psychopath on so many, not on just one level, but on many, many levels. If you go back to everybody, I'm sure, in your listening audience has heard of the Clinton body count. And by some estimates, it's up to around 120 people. Now, I always ask the question, think of every single person you know, okay? And then think of all the people they know. How many times do you come up with 120 dead bodies surrounding them? You could think of maybe, you know, that died under mysterious or violent circumstances. Well, people could think of maybe one or two, maybe zero, but the Clintons have 120 dead bodies linked to them. There's a couple chapters in this book, and I don't want to give too much away, but in Hillary's early career, she tried and successfully got a 41-year-old man freed after raping a 12-year-old girl. And what she did was she attacked the 12-year-old girl and blamed her for being raped by this deviant. So if that doesn't make someone a psychopath, I don't know what else does. And, you know, there's so many other examples, but the truth to her is non-existent. There is no such thing as truth to Hillary Clinton. It's whatever best suits her and Bill and their rise to power, and anybody that gets in their way, they either step on them or, even worse, eliminate them. They exterminate them. And, you know, when you were talking about Hillary's email server, and you're right, Tex, if we watch the mainstream corporate news, they say, well, you know, this was a mistake. Maybe this was just an error on her part. No, this wasn't a mistake or an error. This was calculated. And why Hillary wanted a private email server in her own house was that when she was Secretary of State, she was actually globetrotting the entire planet, cutting deals for the Clinton Foundation. So what she would do is go to a country, and if they wanted some kind of deal with the United States government or some kind of business deal, she'd say, okay, well, you know, if you can donate $400,000 to the Clinton Foundation, I'll have Bill come down here and give a speech. Now, obviously, she doesn't want these kind of shenanigans known to everybody at the State Department, so, conveniently, she sets up her own off-the-books email server so that nobody can see what she's doing. So, again, this is all for her own self-interest. Hillary Clinton wasn't Secretary of State for the benefit of America. She did it for the benefit of the Clinton Foundation, and now that's worth like $120 million. I mean, the Clintons themselves are worth $120 million, and who knows how much this personal slush fund at the Clinton Foundation is worth. You know, this is precisely why we can't have a repeat of the Clintons in the 90s in the White House. We can't let it happen.
Well, I understand her foundation now has over $1.5 billion, with a capital B, billion dollars in its bank account. That is tremendous. That's gigantic.
Well, and you remember, Tex, when, you know, just last year, when Hillary said, well, when we left the White House in 2000, Bill and me were broke. So they go from broke, quote-unquote broke, and now 15 years later, $1.2 billion? That's a pretty good outfit there, if you ask me.
You know, it really was sickening to me about the Haiti situation, where George W. Bush and Bill Clinton were co-chairmen of this Haiti fund to help these poor hurricane victims in Haiti, which is one of the poorest countries in the entire world. And they brought in millions. People gave to this presidential fund for Haiti. And evidently the people there are now saying they never got a cent. It all went to Bush and to Clinton, but they never got any money. They're still living in poverty and building houses made of sticks and tree branches. I mean, that's just disgusting. These people have no conscience at all, do they?
Oh, they don't. And it is really one of the biggest uncovered scandals in existence right now, and you're absolutely correct that the tons of money they pulled in from this Haiti relief fund and the amount that they pocketed versus how much they gave to these people is jaw-dropping, really, Tex. It's jaw-dropping that anybody has the audacity to be that bold-faced and just ripping people off. And, you know, when Donald Trump says people are tired of getting ripped off, I don't think he only means in this country. I think he means just with all of these politicians, everything they're doing, and we're fed up with, you know, when people out of the kindness of their hearts, the goodness of their hearts, they give money, even a lot of them that don't have it, and they do it in good faith. They're giving it to say, well, we're going to rebuild Haiti. And where does it go? It goes right into the Clinton Foundation, tax-free, of course, because the Clintons learned how to set up these foundations that they don't have to pay taxes to the government. So all of this comes straight into their pocket. None of it goes to the government. Yet Hillary and all of her kin say, we need to raise more taxes on the American people. And we're simply fed up with it.
Now, let's go back to this psychopath thing. You mentioned in 1975, when she was an attorney, Hillary Clinton defended this 41-year-old guy who had taken this 12-year-old girl, plied her with whiskey, and then raped her. 12 years old. She viciously attacked the victim in the courtroom, and then she laughed about it. And now this young girl is still, I mean, she's 52 years old now. She was asked about what Hillary had done to her as a young girl to get this guy off, because she was laughing about it. We have actual tapes showing Hillary laughing about getting this sick guy who was guilty off. And she says, I realize now what the horror of what Hillary did to me. Now, there are other instances of psychopathic behavior. Tell us a little bit about some of those that you know of.
You know, look at her reaction to the invasion of Libya and the comments that she made about Muammar Gaddafi. I mean, she took glee. She took glee in the death of another human being. Now, was Muammar Gaddafi a great upstanding citizen? No, I don't think most of us would characterize him as that. But Hillary, like, she chuckled, she chortled, and she had a profound amount of satisfaction in the fact that she was able to terminate this man. Look at Libya today. This is complete anarchy down there. It's a terrorist state. And Libya, I wrote a couple articles for American Free Press Text about pre-Libya and post-Libya. And Libya was the crown of Africa. It was the most advanced, the most developed country on the whole continent. Now, a couple years later after this invasion, it's completely eradicated. It's wiped out. Terrorists run it. There's really no functioning government there. And as we saw what happened in Benghazi, and there's plenty of information in this book about the true story of Benghazi, that this was also used to further the Clintons' warmongering in Syria and so forth. So there's just so much, and I don't want to give everything away that's in this book, but it really goes to the character of a woman. And, you know, I don't think any of us really even know genuine psychopaths. You know, they're a rare breed. So, you know, when we go to the store, or we take our kids to school, or we take a walk around the neighborhood, we don't bump into psychopaths every day. These are really, they're different human beings than us. And Hillary Clinton is so different than us, and so bloodthirsty, and so conniving, and so willing, any means will justify the end for her, that we're talking about someone so different than us, it's almost like a different species. And
well, they say that psychopaths are not human.
Right.
They may look human, but they have no souls. They have no perception of guilt. You know, they're not, they don't feel guilty at all. They would do it again. That's why you can never let a psychopath out of prison, because he will do it again. You can't give him rehabilitation. You can't teach him. You can't introduce him to his victim or their families and think he'll change and he'll feel sorry for what he's done. He will never, or she will never, feel sorry. Now, I want to go back to this thing about this rape of this little girl, because it goes into, now on page 117, you discuss an article in Fusion magazine that says a staggering 80% of Central American girls and women crossing Mexico en route to the United States. That's these kids, these young teenage girls and such, and even younger, and mothers, young mothers, who come across all the way from, you know, Honduras and Nicaragua and all that, come across Mexico, and then they are now entered into the United States as illegal immigrants, welcomed, of course, by the Obama administration, but they are raped along the way, 80%. Now, we know that there's thousands and thousands, maybe as many as a million have come across in the last 3 years or so, and they're raped. Now, she is welcoming these people. And the State Department, she was responsible a lot for them coming over. So the fact they were raped and she doesn't care about them may be traced back to this 1975 event when she laughed, when she got some guilty 41-year-old guy off and laughed about it after he had raped a 12-year-old girl. So there's no change in her conduct or her attitude, is there?
No, we're talking about four decades now and zero growth as a human being. I mean, this is like, you know, prisoners with their recidivism rate. They can't be changed when you're that violent and that psychopathic. And what's even worse, Tex, is that Hillary Clinton, along with Barack Obama, are two of the biggest proponents of what's called sanctuary cities. So what we have is these criminals that are raping these little girls coming across the border, this human trafficking. And then when they come into this country, they'll go to a city like San Francisco, where if they're arrested for a speeding ticket or something like that, they're not handed over to federal ICE officials. Instead, they're protected. So what we have is, instead of looking out for the law-abiding citizens in this country, What they're doing is harboring criminals and saying, hands off. They can't be touched. And as we know, up in San Francisco, with that young, I think she was 31 years old, that young Kate, I can't remember her last name, but she was walking along the pier with her father on Father's Day, and an illegal alien took out a gun and killed her. He'd been previously arrested 5 other times. He'd been deported a few times. And he specifically said, I came to San Francisco because it was a sanctuary city, and I knew they wouldn't touch me there. Now, this is Hillary Clinton. If you watch her in the debates, she says she thinks there should be more sanctuary cities. So, again, this feeds into this psychopathic behavior where the perpetrator of the crime is seen as more important than the victims of crimes. And right now, Tex, I think we're all victims of this type of criminal mentality that's being inflicted upon us in America.
Oh, yes, absolutely. Now, you mentioned Libya and Muammar Gaddafi, who's the prime minister, the president. And you say he wasn't necessarily a good guy, but he probably, I'm just guessing, but I would say he probably is more respectable and has more dignity or had more than, say, the president of Mexico. He certainly was a better president than Bill Clinton. So, I mean, he gave his people college degrees, free college. Everybody was doing great financially. He had a lot of gold he had stored up, a lot of oil, of course, Libya. So oil and gold. What did they kill him for? What did Libya do? They had no nuclear weapons, no chemical, biological weapons. He was just simply there as their president. Probably if they'd had free elections, they would have elected him again. So what pretext did Hillary go in there, kill the guy, and then she laughed about it? She actually laughed on TV, laughed about the fact that he had died. I want to tell people out there, he died begging for mercy.
Yeah, the pretext that she says she went in there for, which is an unmitigated lie, is that Gaddafi was engaging in this widespread genocide against his own people. Well, in American Free Press, we examined these claims and we saw that it was totally false, that Gaddafi was not doing this. What the reason they went in there is this was a very strategic place. It was, like I said, the crown jewel of Africa, but it's also very strategically located militarily. And for further operations to be carried out, they needed to secure Libya. And the words, just think now, when Hillary Clinton was notified that Gaddafi had been viciously attacked, executed, and there's other things that were done to him, Tex, that I'm not even going to mention on your show. I'm sure you've heard of it, but this guy, he was defiled by mobs of people. It was sickening. And when Hillary Clinton heard about this, her exact words were, "We came, we saw, he died." I mean, this is cold-blooded, Tex. This is like reptilian cold-blooded.
But she was laughing when she said that.
Laughing when she was giggling with that fingernails across a chalkboard laugh that she has.
Exactly. It was a cackle. It was a cackle, really. It was a cackle.
Yeah, a cackle.
by a witch. And it puts you on the edge. It's sort of like when George W. Bush was asked about this Texas girl who had been given the death sentence, and she had killed somebody, but she had repented, and she had asked Jesus, and she was the prison. Everybody wanted her to be given a life sentence for it to be commuted, but she had been given a death sentence, and she wrote George W. Bush and asked him for a please to commute her sentence to life. She said, "I know I'm guilty, but I was a young teenager, and I was impressed by, and I was on drugs, et cetera." Well, even if you're going to write to her back and say, "No, you did it, you're going to pay for it. I'm sorry." That would be acceptable. I mean, I'm a law and order guy, I guess. But when he pursed his lips and put them together and he was asked, "What did she say to you when she wrote you? What did she say in that letter?" I don't know if you remember that, Victor.
But oh, yeah. Yeah, I remember. Yeah.
George W. put his lips together, pursed them, and said, she asked in her letter, "Please don't do this to me." It was like, you know, please don't do this to me. You know, he was mocking her.
A mockery, yeah.
She was already dead. He mocked her. And, you know, if you got to kill somebody, that's one thing, but to mock the way he did, it was a, you know, the Bible talks about mocking spirits. You know, in the satanic world, they have these mocking spirits. And that's what these people are. They've got mocking spirits. They're infested with incredible numbers, legions of devils. You know, I believe that because I believe the Bible. And they're absolutely evil. Now, she's very close to becoming the president of the United States. The Democrats, she won over Bernie Sanders, and he was a fluff, of course, a socialist communist. But it looks like she's going to be running for president now. She's going to get the delegates. And interestingly, the Republicans are really down on Trump. I mean, the establishment.
Right.
He's got all the establishment against him, of course. Because the establishment basically are Hillary people. I was listening to somebody on Fox News, and they were saying that the establishment neocons, which, you know, are Jews.
Uh-huh, yep.
Claim they're Republicans because, you know, they want to take over both parties, so they claim to be Republicans. That these neocons, rather than Trump, they are more than willing to bolt the party and support Hillary Clinton. How can you support Hillary Clinton over anybody? I mean, these people obviously, I mean, let's just take one thing that she's going to do. She's going to give us one Supreme Court justice, because that guy's got to be appointed one way or another. The guy, you know, the Obama's recently nominated. And then she'll probably have a chance for maybe two more nominations in her first term in office, and maybe a couple more in her second term. So we may end up with 8 of the 9 justices that are liberal Democrats. And, of course, that would totally change America. Absolutely. They'll take away your guns. It'll be amazing. They'll bring the age of consent for sex down to children, probably allow 6-year-olds to have sex, but with 50-year-old men. And Ruth Bader Ginsburg has already suggested we bring the age down. She's one of the Supreme Court justices.
Mm-hmm.
That alone would tell you these neocon people are perverts and evil, wouldn't it?
Oh, it does. And I should tell you this story. I saw Hillary speak live in 2008 when she was campaigning for president. She was here at Penn State University, and I was about 15 to 20 feet away from her, from the stage. Now, she had other speakers, the governor of the state, some of the senators from the state, speak before her, okay? So they had the lights on her, of course, and the cameras and everything. But all of these people that spoke before, they looked normal. Then when Hillary took the stage, and it was, you know, all the liberals were cheering and applauding and so forth, but I looked at her, and for the entire speech, I said, there is something so otherworldly, so inhuman, so alien about her eyes that I don't think she's human. But since it was loud, you know, and you really couldn't talk. Well, anyway, after this was all over, the person I went with to the speech, without saying anything at all, I said, outside, I said, did you notice anything weird about her? And immediately they said, what was up with her eyes? Did you see the eyes on that woman? And I said, you did see it then. I said, yeah. And text, it was like she was an extraterrestrial, like she was a demon or something. And her eyes were, they weren't eyes like our eyes were. And I was, because I, you know, if they wouldn't have noticed anything, I would have said, oh, it was just my imagination. But that was the first thing that this person said. It confirmed it. It's like, she's not of us, Tex.
Yeah, she is a psychopath for sure. Well, folks, my guest today is Victor Thorne. We've got another half an hour. Well, we're going to cover some stuff from this book, Crowning Clinton. Why don't we take a break now? We'll be back in just a minute. Victor, stay with us, won't you?
I will for sure.
All right, I'm Tex Mars. You're listening to Power of Prophecy. Hello again, friends. This is Tex Mars. You know, I've got this book, and I've been looking at it for several days here. Just the cover alone sort of gets me going. Crowning Clinton. Why Hillary Should Not Be in the White House. It's by, I guess you might say, Hillary expert, Victor Thorne. And Victor's written several books about the Clintons. And in a minute, we're going to ask what his web page is. He's got a web page. You can buy his other books. You might want to look into that and buy his other books from him personally. But we're offering, here in the ministry, Crowning Clinton by Victor Thorne. And, Jerry, how much are we asking for this? $12? Just $12. Oh, well, listen, it's worth that. I want you to have this book. It's just $12. Please include $5 shipping and handling, a total of $17, and we'll send you this book. It just came out. Absolutely just came out. You won't find it in bookstores yet. I hope it gets to bookstores. But, you know, Hillary and her husband have such power that a lot of books don't get to bookstores today. But you can get it from us. And I think Victor's going to get as many copies as we need to us. We'll have them right here. And I'm going to keep this book on our list as long as needed, especially through this election. Because, friends, if you love America, you have got to stop Hillary Rodham Clinton. You've just got to. I mean, there's no doubt about it. She is a wicked, evil woman. Her friends gave her a party in the White House, gave her a witch's hat because they said she's the wicked witch of the East or whatever. They know her. At the Democrat Party convention, the second go-round when Bill Clinton got the nomination again, the most popular pin, you know, they have these campaign pins, buttons, they call them pins, these campaign buttons on their clothes, you know, round, has a message on it, you know, like vote Clinton or whatever. This one said, it had a picture of Hillary and her hair was cut off. She had green, very close cut afro, as if she were Rodman, you know, the basketball star. And the caption said, as bad as she wants to be. Now think about that. Now, I was watching the convention. I didn't really want to, but I wanted to watch it for about 30 minutes or an hour, a couple of speakers speaking. And one of the officials there was asked about that pin. Everybody was wearing this pin. It was ubiquitous. It was most, he said, that's the most popular campaign button at the convention. Think about that. Almost a couple of thousand there, and they all were wearing this pin. And it said, as bad as she wants to be. Now, when have we ever elected a president who we admitted, we even laugh about, talk about psychopaths, as bad as she wants to be? That's just incredible. Well, that's Hillary Rodham Clinton. Now, this book, this is going to tell you the tale. Her ties to Saul Alinsky. You've heard of Dr. Ben Carson recently on the campaign trail. He keeps talking about the ties to Saul Alinsky. She was a disciple of Saul Alinsky. She read his book. He even asked her to go around the country on a tour with him. And by the way, Saul Alinsky wrote the book Rules for Radicals. And, you know, I've got a copy of that book. Look in the front cover. He dedicates it to Lucifer. He dedicates his book to Lucifer. And he asked Hillary to go around the nation on a tour with him. That's how evil she is. He knew she was evil. And that is just incredible. He's passed on now, and probably the demons are now that were in him are in her now. But this is an amazing thing. And this book has everything you'd want to know about Hillary. I mean, there's so much more, but this gets it down, and you get things in here that I didn't even know about. I guess I've just missed them. But you'll find out the horrible things that, oh my goodness, it's just an amazing thing. I want you to have this book, and please, it's only $12. Why don't you order a couple copies from us? Order a couple copies. Give one to a friend. Give three or four to a friend. Do them a favor, especially if you find out they're going to vote for Hillary. Give them this book. Now, I admit some people won't read it. They don't want to. They don't want to find out the horrible things here. But you'll know, won't you? You'll understand the terrible thing about it. He talks about the Clinton Foundation. Wow, this is supposed to be a foundation like the Ford Foundation or the Chrysler Foundation or the Rockefeller Foundation. Supposed to do good. But the Clinton Foundation is her personal piggy bank, Victor says. And not only that, but, well, it's just doing some terrible things. So, I want you to have this book, please. $12, add $5 shipping and handling. $12 per copy, add $5 shipping and handling. As for the Hillary book by Victor Thorne, we'll know what you're talking about. Crowning Clinton, putting the crown on her head. That's what they want to do. And they say that she's going to get the vote of a lot of women who are conservatives because they just believe a woman should win office. Now, whether you buy that or not, it cannot be Hillary Clinton. This is our time, my friends. This is it. She's going to get the Democrat nomination. And she will be president unless you and I do something about it. Now, Victor has done his part. He's written this great book. So help us do your part by ordering this book. Crowning Clinton, $12 for each book, $5 for each for shipping and handling, and we'll get it right out to you. Okay? Now, here's how to get the book. You can go online at TexMars.com or PowerOfProphecy.com. Get the book. Or you can call us, phones toll free, 1-800-234-9673. See, it's real simple. 1-800-234-9673. You can also write to us, of course. We've been at the same address for, oh, I don't know, maybe 20 years. 1708 Patterson, Patterson Road, Austin, Texas, 78733. That's right to Tex Mars or Power of Prophecy, 1708 Patterson Road, Austin, Texas, 78733. All right. Now let's go back to our program. And again, we have Victor Thorne as my guest for today. Victor, welcome back to Power of Prophecy.
It's great to be here, Tex.
Now, let's talk about the Alinsky connection. Because a lot of what they do in their campaign is based on the rules for radicals that they learned from Alinsky. Tell us how she's connected with Alinsky and what that means for America.
Well, I'm impressed. Few people know, Tex, what you said earlier, but yeah, I have rules for radicals in my library also. And sure enough, that on the dedication page, Saul Alinsky, who was a Jewish radical, dedicated this book to Lucifer. Now, again, how many examples of psychopathic behavior do we need to bring up? Well, Hillary Clinton was one of Alinsky's first students. And real quickly, Alinsky has basically, he wrote the blueprint for radicalism and leftism. So things that you see now like Black Lives Matter or Occupy Wall Street or the riots out in Chicago last weekend at the Trump rally, if you go back to the 1968 Chicago Democratic Convention, any of these things that you see, this leftist, radical, Marxist uprisings, these can all be traced back to a Jewish provocateur named Saul Alinsky. Well, not only did Hillary Clinton write one of her college theses on how great Saul Alinsky was, but she's also carried his tactics forward. And it's not coincidental that Hillary is from Chicago, Saul Alinsky was from Chicago, Barack Obama was from Chicago, and the man who is allegedly Barack Obama's real father, Frank Marshall Davis, a communist, was from Chicago. Chicago is really the hotbed of radicalism in this country, and Hillary and all of her acolytes, Jerry Rubin and Abby Hoffman back in the 60s, all from Chicago. This is a hotbed. So what Hillary wants to do is take Saul Alinsky's vision, this demented Luciferian vision, and spread it across the rest of the country. And, you know, we've seen 8 years now of what Chicago politics has done to this country after Obama, or during Obama. Do we want 8 more years of Chicago politics across this country? And to me and virtually every person I know, Tex, we say resoundingly, no, we can't have it.
Now, obviously the elite of the nation, I mean the Washington, D.C. crowd, Republican and Democrat, Do you see a difference in the two, Republican, Democrat? Is one like conservative and the other liberal? What is the difference exactly between the two?
Well, I think it's more superficial. I think it's more artifice than anything else, that they try to pull this magic show on us and make us believe that there's a big difference. But, you know, you made a great point a few minutes ago when you said that some of these elite neocons that are quote-unquote Republicans have actually come out on record and say that they would rather vote for Hillary than Donald Trump. Well, one of them is William Kristol, one of the big Jewish neocons. And it's him and all his buddies that are saying, you know, well, we can't have somebody come into Washington, D.C., an outsider who's not in the clique, who doesn't know the secret handshake. We can't have that. So even though Hillary isn't exactly in our club, we'd rather have a fellow psychopath like her than somebody outside that wants to come in and try to clean up the show. So it's really, really troublesome. And, you know, you were right at the beginning of the show when you said, I'm not a Republican. I'm registered as a Republican, but I have as much disdain for the elite Republican GOP as I do for the Democrats, because they've worked hand in hand for decades, even centuries, Tex. And if you just look at what happens in Congress nowadays, that even when they get good people in there, it only takes a year or two until they become corrupted and they learn the way the game is played. So if anybody is a master at learning how the game is played, it's Hillary Clinton.
Now, on page 21 of your book, you say flat out, we do not have two political parties any longer. And then you quote Pat Buchanan, who said the Republicans and Democrats are two wings of the same bird of prey. Democrats and Republicans are taking us down the road of tyranny. So that is obviously your opinion. That's what you say in this book, and I've known you for a long time, and I understand it's true. Now, they evidently intended, the Republican establishment thought they would have many candidates, of course, but that they intended it to look like a real free Democratic enterprise, the Republican nomination, but that Jeb Bush would end up running against Hillary Clinton, and that way it wouldn't matter who got elected, Jeb Bush or Hillary Clinton. I mean, the Bush family and the Clinton family actually go on vacations together.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
That's how close they are. So there's no difference at all. But now they're furious because Jeb, as you know, paid $130 million. $130 million, but it didn't get anywhere. But so now they want to rig the convention to deny Donald Trump and maybe put somebody like Jeb Bush or Marco Rubio in place. Now, Marco Rubio says, I'm a conservative. And these others all say, I'm a conservative. That they think that will swing everything, you know, that everybody will believe them. But really, isn't being a conservative that you want to keep the great things that America has had in the past, you want them to continue? Isn't that what a conservative, I mean, because does a conservative mean they want to take down the border? Because that's what Marco Rubio, he's one of the Gang of Eight. Jeb Bush, of course, goodness gracious. I couldn't see any difference between he and Hillary Rodham Clinton. So, you know, to say I'm a conservative, I mean, that's just, you know, to use a word of common now, that's balderdash, right? I mean, goodness gracious. So Jeb Bush basically equaled, in your opinion, is on page 21 now, equaled Hillary Light.
Oh, exactly, yeah. And I would go so far as to say that, you know, the elite Republican and Democratic Party, it's two heads of the same snake. So, you know, Buchanan kind of put it politely. I would take it a step further and say this is two heads of the same snake. And, you know, I'd also go, if we would have had Jeb Bush against Hillary Clinton, I would imagine it like this. Say you owned the New York Yankees and you also owned the St. Louis Cardinals. And both of those teams made it to the World Series. Well, you own both teams. Would you really care which team won the World Series? Not really, because you own both teams. Well, that's how the elite are with the Bushes and Clintons. And it's funny because a couple years ago, everyone was saying, we don't want any more Bushes and we don't want any more Clintons. Well, we ran one of them out anyway. You know, we ran Jeb Bush out because this guy had about the pizzazz and the charisma and the excitement of a house plant. You know, there was just no fire to this guy whatsoever. So fortunately, we got rid of one half of the equation. But we still have the other half of the equation in Hillary. And that's why the elite now are so very desperate, where you can see the sweat rolling off them. You can see the panic because they were taking it for granted. Oh, yeah, we'll just, you know, we'll finagle these people. We'll bamboozle them with Jeb Bush. And, yeah, they'll buy into it, sure, sure. But, you know, the Republicans said, no, we don't want this. This guy doesn't represent us any longer. Unfortunately, Tex, I don't know why, but the Democrats have fallen for the same trick. And, you know, they didn't really put anyone up against her. Bernie Sanders wasn't a real candidate. He was, you know, throwing marshmallows at Hillary, and that was it. So yeah, we still got half of the demonic pair out there, and it just, we have to do everything not to let her in.
Okay, now, I'm thinking about Trump. You know, I've been watching very closely. Now, Trump is way ahead in the delegate count. But I've been listening to some of these Republicans from the establishment, and they've been saying things. In fact, there was a headline, I think it was in the New York Times, and they were all being interviewed, these establishment elite, they call themselves, the arrogant elite. And this one said that, you know, they cannot let Trump take office. They said all he has got is the votes. Now, I want you to think about that, Victor. All he has got is the votes. So now, that would have to, this guy really revealed himself, didn't he? All he's got is the votes. Well, isn't that what America's based on? If you win the vote, you win a majority of the vote, you're in. So what does that mean? All he's got is votes. That's incredible, isn't it?
Yeah, another one of these individuals, I just read this article this morning, that he went even further and says, I don't even know why we have primaries or caucuses anymore. I mean, there's a guy, a writer named Michael Hoffman, who calls this the revelation of the method. And he says that when the elite becomes so arrogant in their power that they're not even worried anymore about showing their cards, about showing their true nature. So when they're coming out and saying, yeah, all he has is the votes, but why do we even have primaries and caucuses? Basically, he's saying, why do we even have elections anymore?
Of course, why do we spend all that time and all that money?
Yeah, why don't they just select whoever they want?
That's what they say they're going to do now. I read a headline this morning, and it said, the Republican establishment say they don't really care who has all the delegates. They say our rules say that the convention decides who's going to run for president. So they don't really care. So why are they having all these primaries and caucuses? Because they admit that it's they that are going to choose. They don't really want to have them. They've always given them the candidate that they wanted. But this time, evidently, you know, the dark horse is winning. They had 17 candidates. And probably of those 17, they didn't really care who won. He's going to be another, you know, just like another pancake off the griddle, looking like the last pancake. Maybe, you know, he's rounded just a little bit different, but basically a pancake is a pancake. But Trump appears to be different. He's told them, they believe him. They believe what he's told them. He's going to be different. We'll see once he's in office. I really think he's going to win. But here's the point. They don't want him to get that far. They say, we can't trust him. I believe these people are so furious, they're so angry, the establishment, the elite. I do think they will kill him. I do think he's going to be assassinated, or they will try. Let me just say that, by these absolutely insane, anti-American, anti-democratic monsters that are part of the D.C. Beltway crowd. And so it's really us, the people, versus the establishment. It's not Republican, Democrat. It's the people versus them. Is that sort of the way you see it, Victor?
Oh, you know, that's really interesting that you bring up about Trump being assassinated, because I'll bet you, and, you know, the people I talk to, Tex, these are people in the know. These are brilliant people that pay attention, you know, as you do. And I'll bet you at least six people in the last couple weeks have called me and broached this very same topic. And I said that this event last weekend in Chicago, where they had these huge riots, and then the next day in Ohio, when this 22-year-old punk kid jumped up, or nearly jumped on the stage, he was only like 3 or 4 feet away from Trump before they finally grabbed hold of him. See, the elite, when they kill somebody, they always set it up first with something, a foundation. So now all of this is on camera, you know, the people swinging and punching, and then this 22-year-old almost leaping on stage. When And if they do this, then they'll say, well, see, you know, Trump was asking for it, and then we had Chicago, and we had this kid in Ohio. And what it does is it sets the stage for this. So then when they bring in one of their snipers or one of their marksmen, what they'll do is they'll blame it on another Lee Harvey Oswald, another Sirhan Sirhan. And this really is, I think, resonating with a lot of people, because so many of those that I speak with that are in the know are all bringing it up. And have other political candidates been assassinated in the past? Well, we could name on how many of our hands have been so. I think it should be a real concern to everybody out there listening today, and we need to pay close attention, because if this happens, what you're going to do is immediately the corporate news is going to, you know, pick their latest patsy and blame it on them. But, you know, just like 9/11 and the U.S. Liberty attack and Oklahoma City bombing, the real facts, they don't mesh with what we're told on the television.
Oh, absolutely. Well, you mentioned the Clinton body count. What is it, 110, 120 right now?
Yeah.
They've killed that many people. They've murdered them, including, of course, Vince Foster. There have been so many books written about the Vince Foster incident. You remember the Tripp gal? I forget her first name.
Linda Tripp.
Yeah, Linda Tripp. I bet she could tell us a lot of tales about how Vince Foster was killed. But these people are vicious. Now, obviously, they attempted to kill Ronald Reagan. They did kill John F. Kennedy. So please don't say, oh, that's impossible. They wouldn't do that. You know, Ron Kiesler, a great writer, an establishment writer, really, you might say, but he's written a number of best-selling books about the Central Intelligence Agency, the CIA. Ron Kiesler said, for some reason, the Secret Service is not doing a good job. They're very lax in taking care and watching the health, let's just say, of Donald Trump. Now, he's given warning to the people, trying to save Trump. He's trying to say, hey, the Secret Service is there to protect you, but they're not protecting you. They're lax. Watch out. You're going to get it. And so I believe that may be right, because that would be the easiest way to get rid of the guy. Because let's face it, John Kasich, Ted Cruz. Ted Cruz is another Bush. I know that. He's a George W. Bush. He's an absolute serpent. He's a snake in the grass. Folks, take it from Tex Mars. I've done a whole program. You can ask for the 60-minute tape, and it will tell you everything you need to know about that lying, filthy snake named Ted Cruz. That's just true. Well, let's go on to your book, Victor. Now, you know, the banks. Now, Hillary went to a number of banks, and she got, what, hundreds of thousands of dollars to go there and give a 30-minute talk. You know, they don't just do that. I've never been invited by a bank. Have you? You think you're going to be invited on your book by some big bank?
No, I would say 100% guaranteed not.
Okay, so Goldman Sachs, all these banks, and she won't give us the transcript or the tapes. So she must have told them something very important to them. But you better believe she wasn't there criticizing these banks. And it's just amazing. Now, Benghazi, we don't have much time, but what really happened there? Did they want to have Libya as the stopping off point? You mentioned it's a very strategic place militarily. Was it the stopping off point for our aircraft and ships and so forth?
All I'll say, and hopefully this will entice your listeners, is probably the biggest revelation in this book is about what really happened at Benghazi.
Okay.
And when readers, you know, there's many pages devoted to this and a lot of great personal interviews with people. When they find out what happened at Benghazi and how Hillary Clinton looked in the eyes of these family members, that the four people that were slain there and lied bold-faced to them that it was all because of a video, their stomachs will churn, Tex, I guarantee it. And, you know, one other thing I really want to broach, and I know we're running out of time, but Hillary is going to keep playing up that she's the champion of women. She's the greatest feminist. We need a woman in the White House. And all I'll say, Tex, is I don't believe that there is a single person in America that hates, and that's the word I'm using, that hates women more than Hillary Clinton. And what she's done, with how she has terrorized the women that her husband has raped and sexually assaulted and acted as a sexual predator against. Hillary, if she didn't do it herself, she hired thugs to go out there and intimidate, spread lies about, and use strong-arm tactics against these women, Tex. This is the thing that most makes me turn against Hillary Clinton is that she portrays herself as the champion of women, and she is a misogynist. A misogynist is someone that hates women. She hates women because she knows how many affairs her husband has had on her, and what she's done now is she uses women to get votes, but deep down she hates their guts because she knows that her husband has betrayed her so many times because of them. And, you know, I even dedicated the book to all of the women, like Juanita Broderick, and on, all of the women that have been raped or sexually assaulted by Bill Clinton. And I've gone so far as to say that a woman that votes for Hillary is really a woman that's voting against women, because Hillary does more damage to women than anybody I can ever think of.
Yeah, she really does. She's a one-woman war on women, really. You know, she tried to paint Trump as a sexist. And then he came back and said, be very careful, Hillary. He tweeted to her, said, be very careful. You know about your husband and what he did to those women. And boy, that shut her up. And, of course, Bill hadn't been seen much on the campaign trail since then.
Yeah, it was immediate. I mean, and Trump brags about it. And he's letting her know that do not play the sex card against me, the gender card against me, because we know what both of you two are about. And Donald Trump absolutely knows. Donald Trump does his research. Trump's no dummy. And if anybody out there has noticed, Hillary Clinton hasn't mentioned the sexist word about Donald Trump once since then. And that's one of the big reasons why I think he can trounce her this fall, is because if you take away Hillary's gender card from her, she really doesn't have anything else left, because she's not been successful at anything other than duping the people.
That's right. Well, one thing has not been out on the campaign trail, and I'm amazed about it. I guess everybody thinks it's okay now, is the fact that she is a lesbian. The fact that Huma Abedin, her Muslim aide, is her sex partner. They live together.
Yep.
And so... friends, do you want Hillary Clinton, who has a Muslim woman, Huma Abedin, as her sex partner and live-in partner, do you want her as your president? Think about it.
Abedin, Tex, who is married to Anthony Weiner, one of the filthiest perverts there is. So look, Hillary is married to Bill Clinton, a serial rapist, and Huma Abedin is married to this degenerate Anthony Weiner. Like, think of this is the people that's going to be occupying 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue.
Well, let me give you we only have about a minute, but let me just say that actually Huma is not married to him. That's an absolute hoax, a fake. She's not married at all. There are no pictures of their marriage. They have no guests that ever went there. They didn't get married. She just has him as the guy that's, you know, sort of like covers for her. So he didn't, you can't, there is no pastor or rabbi who married them. I know who married them. Bill Clinton, they claim, married them. And, of course, the state attorney general of New York says Bill Clinton, even though he was president, is not qualified to officiate at a wedding. So they are not married. That's all a hoax meant to, okay, you know, Huma is all right. So she's not married. She's living with Hillary as her sex mate. Okay, well, listen, you've done a great job, Victor, and I really appreciate this book. And please keep up the good work, would you?
Tex, thanks for having me on. I could talk with you for another 4 hours if we could. And just thanks for you and everybody out there listening.
All right. Thank you so much for being on Power of Prophecy.
Have a great day, Tex.
All right, Victor. Well, that was Victor Thorne. He's the author of Crowning Clinton, a book that you've got to have. Call us, write to us, go to our internet site, order this book. My friends, I pray that you'll tune in each week during this same time and discover the power of prophecy.